Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hour number three of the program, Nick and Cecil filling in for Stokely and Zach today. And how many times have you heard, if we'd only drafted Justin Fields? Now, I like Fields. You like Fields. I certainly didn't fall for the moronic conversation that Dan Orlovsky promoted on ESPN. Absolute moronic conversation. If you remember him talking about Justin Fields and be like, oh, he's being a little lazy. And there were people around that Ohio State program that said he was using his epilepsy as a reason to get out of practice. I think that's a god-awful thing to say. I think that's a god-awful thing to promote. I think it was god-awful that Dan Orlovsky didn't actually vet that information. Didn't talk to Ryan Day. Didn't talk to any of his former teammates. Didn't talk to anybody. Just ran with it on ESPN. On the ESPN and said those disparaging remarks about one Justin Fields. So I like Justin Fields. You like Justin Fields. Mac Jones had to go to New England or New Orleans. For everyone like, we should have got Mac Jones. Mac Jones wouldn't fit here. You can ask yourself the question, who would fit here? That's a pretty good question. But Mac Jones was not going to fit in a Pat Shermer offense. Mac Jones had to go to Sean Payton or Josh McDaniels. He went to Josh McDee. You see the results. The Micah Parsons argument now has become a hot thing, especially with Parsons' big day on Thanksgiving. Everyone, oh my God, we should have got Micah Parsons. Although there were some draft experts, some websites promoting draft experts that nobody knows, that are like, Micah Parsons can't play. Like, no, Micah Parsons could always play. You were a moron if you thought differently. But either way, the point is this, Nick. What's my point? The point is, Pat Surtain, so underappreciated by some in the audience. So underappreciated by some in this fan base. Not today.
No, not today. And I banged this drum before, and I'll bang it again. I like the pick. Vic Fangio said earlier today in his press conference, if both myself and George Payton, I'm only paraphrasing here, that if we had an opportunity to do the draft all over again, we will do the same exact thing.
Every day.
Yes.
That's what he said. Every day.
That's basically what he said.
Every day.
And I get it because there is this love affair with quarterbacks by this fan base, but by every fan
every
base.
Every fan base.
But this fan base, more importantly, they're thirsty for a quarterback. They're thirsty for the future of the franchise, and they're wondering, why don't we have our guy? We could have went out and grabbed one of these hot young quarterbacks. We didn't need a corner. We could have waited. This is my conversation with D-Mac. We could have waited to go grab a guy. But there's a difference between grabbing a guy and getting the guy. There's a difference.
Or getting that dude.
Yeah, that's right. And Surtain is really showing you what the benefit is. Keep this in mind. In the game yesterday, Bryce Callahan didn't play. So instead of
shocker.
Putting...
Sorry.
I knew you were going to do that. Instead of putting the young kid and PS2 in the nickel spot, or Darby in the nickel spot, guess who they put at the nickel position? Kyle Fuller. So that told me everything that I needed to know about how they feel about PS2, that they were willing to take the veteran who normally doesn't play inside and stick him inside.
And by the way, you're facing Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. I even saw him on Jared Cook. But, like, you're facing big, physical, fast players. That's very dangerous.
It is very dangerous, and PS2 was able to live up to the billing. You know, he was as advertised. So I hope now, with what we saw from a production standpoint, and I'll say this, in this league, you will get beat. So at some point, he will get beat.
And he's gotten beat.
Yes.
And it's been the times that he's gotten beat as a rookie, where people say, Justin Fields, Look at what he can do.
Yes.
Against maybe the best quarterback in the conference, and against those type of wide receivers. Look at what he can do.
And this is where Patrick Surtain is going to be, the Broncos are going to lean on him big time Sunday Night Football. Right? This is going to be one of those games of why he was drafted.
Oh, it's huge.
Right? So let's see what he can do matching up with the Chiefs wide receivers or Travis Kelce. Keep in mind that he's still young, but look at the level of production that you're getting from a young guy. Now, I know the idea is you draft a quarterback, you got your guy for the future, but how many quarterbacks do you draft that are able to go in and make impacts right away? We've only seen a handful of those guys who are able to do it. Even Patrick Mahomes had to wait behind Alex Smith before he received this opportunity. So did Aaron Rodgers. But this is my thinking, and I'm thinking that maybe George Payton and Vic Fangio thought about this. With a quarterback, you may have to wait for that development. On a defensive side of the ball, it's a plug and play.
Instant production.
Baptism by fire. Let's throw him out there and see if he sinks or swim. And the kid has been making plays ever since the preseason. So I just ask the fans, give him time. Look at what he's doing. Take a Bill Belichick, New England Patriots, Patriot Way type of thought process.
Film your opponents.
Well, no. Not that.
Something else.
Yeah, something else.
Oh.
And here's something else. Let's not focus on what they can't do. Let's focus on what they can do.
Well, I ask you, and of course I scouted Sertan, and I'm like, there's not a lot he can't do. He can do a lot.
Exactly.
That can't list is pretty short.
But this is why you draft a corner in the first round. You can draft a corner in the second, third, maybe
their
a fifth
can't
round.
Lists are a little bit longer.
Right.
Or a lot longer.
But that skill set changes. It diminishes to some. I mean, why was Champ Bailey drafted where he was drafted, Cecil?
Because he could do everything.
Exactly. Now, I'm not saying that PS2 is exactly Champ.
Others
at
are.
The moment.
Our friend Paul Klee in the media said he's getting Champ vibes.
Well, I did tweet that this kid reminds me of Champ. What I'm saying is he's not at Champ's level yet, but he's showing all the familiar signs that I saw being Champ Bailey's teammate. So from the interception, think about this, Sisu. The moment he picked up that pass, he raced down the left side of the Broncos sideline, nearest the sideline.
Good thing Drew Locke was pointing where to go.
Exactly. So you know what the first thing that came to mind?
What was that?
I've seen that somewhere before.
Watch out for the tight end.
The first thing that happened when he caught the pass and he was racing down the sideline, I said a couple of things. Man, his running's motion looks like 2-4. And I was like, wait a minute. I've seen that play before. But it eludes me. I can't remember. But I'm still excited about the fact that he's running down the sideline. And I'm like, how talented he is as a player. He has kind of a no-fear type of mentality like Champ Bailey had. That's why someone said on Twitter, well, it's a little too early to say that, Nick, don't you think? I was like, well, I'll tell you this. I play next to 2-4, so I know what I'm seeing. If you're not seeing it, that's fine.
That's your truth.
If he's not where Champ is right now as a Hall of Famer, man, but I tell you, Sisu, gosh darn it, all the tools are there. All the freaking tools
are
there.
That's how a young Champ Bailey looked.
Yes, that's how he looked. You go back and watch him when he was in Washington with Darryl Green and he had Deion Sanders. And he was a young pup. He was doing the same thing that we're seeing from Sertan right now. So I love it. I don't hate it. I'll let everyone else talk about their quarterbacks and what we wish I could have, would have, should have. No. This kid is making plays and he's turning instant defense into instant offense.
Teddy Bridgewater's performance, not only did it redeem him in the eyes of some, not of all, but of some, did it get him a job for next year? How many of the guys that produced yesterday now are maybe going to stick around? That discussion's next.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Well, you got to fight the urge to think ahead. Nick Ferguson here, Nick and Cecil sitting in for Stokely and Zach today on a Reaction Monday. And we're reacting to the Broncos' big win. Hope has been provided to the Mile High City. The sun is shining because the Broncos won, and Monday feels a lot better after Broncos win. But people have to fight the urge to really think ahead to Kansas City. We've already, talked a little bit about that more in a little bit later in this program today. But there's also the urge of the future, right? What does Jack Nicholson say in Batman 89? Hey, Eckhart, think about the future. Well, I'm thinking about the future of this team at the quarterback position. And whoever that is, Russell Wilson seems to be maybe the front runner of the early rumor mill. Okay, that's fine. But did Teddy Bridgewater's performance, and we know the team loves him, they'll love Drew Lock. The team loves Teddy. Did Teddy Bridgewater's performance yesterday maybe get him a job here next year?
Yes, definitely.
Now,
definitely. I'll say that because looking at the way that he's played thus far, opposed to who was his predecessor in Drew Lock. And I know the idea is that, well, if Drew Lock was in some of these games, the outcome would have been the same. I beg to differ because it comes down to decision making as a quarterback. At some point, you're going to be under duress. Are you unwisely throwing the ball away? Are you loose with carrying the ball that leads to a fumble? Right? This is where Teddy has definitely made things a lot different at the quarterback positions than we've seen of Drew Lock. And knowing as though Teddy is just that. I mean, he's a kind of bridge player. Can you win a Super Bowl with Teddy? I don't know. Is he a 5-year out guy? I don't think so.
You won a Super Bowl with Brad Johnson. I mean, don't think you will win one with Teddy, but Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Baltimore with Trent Dilfer, they had an amazing
defense.
Phenomenal defense and great special teams. And they ran the ball well, right? Jamal Lewis was the running back, big running back. I know, had to run into him a couple of times. You think you talk about Brad Johnson. Look at the defense that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had at that time. So you could win with Teddy, but everything has to be perfect. You need to have that fire defense. And right now we are not there. We're kind of getting to that point based on some of the players that George Payton has assembled. But Teddy has definitely changed the minds. Now, he may not have changed the mind of certain people in Broncos country based on the narrative, but the only thing that counts at the end of the day, Cece, you know what, is what the players think and what George Payton and Vic Fangio thinks.
Well, those players love Teddy Bridgewater.
Yes, and as long as Vic is here, Teddy is going to have an opportunity to start and win games for this team.
And now, if you get Russell Wilson, you're going to need a backup you can trust.
Yes. So, once again, this is why I'm saying that has Teddy played himself into an opportunity to be here next year? Absolutely. Either as a starter while you draft a young guy and you bring him along, or as the backup to another veteran quarterback.
I'll tell you who else has, and I wrote about it in my Mile High Monday, available at DenverFan.com. Kenny Young. I love his play. I think the trade for Kenny Young, absolutely outstanding. And listen, Alexander Johnson already doesn't like me because I said he turns like a lumber wagon, which is pretty much true. And Josie Jewell, like, these guys are old school thumpers. If you were playing in the 80s, Alexander Johnson and Josie Jewell would be like well paid, Pro Bowl every year. That's that type of linebacker, right? You're playing in the 80s, you're playing in the 90s. Those type of linebackers, that's what lived in the NFL. Today, they're dinosaurs. Do you know what you need?
Athletic linebackers.
You need a next-gen linebacker like Kenny Young. So I ask you, Nick Ferguson, has Kenny Young played himself into a new contract with the Denver Broncos?
I'm going to go all Colonel Colonel Jessup.
Yes. Colonel Jessup.
Colonel Jessup on you. You got that right, he did. Because that's exactly what he did. He played himself into a position. And here's the value of this. When you have a guy who's starting, however he got there.
He's there.
And he's there. And let's just say it's due to poor execution or maybe injury. And someone comes behind him and they're able to fill that void.
But you don't lose your job to injury.
Well, that's coach speak.
Until you do.
And yes, until you do. Right, and that's when the coach is going to tell you, "Well, Cecil, let me talk to you for a second over lunch. You were doing a great job, and I really appreciate what you've given to us.
Thanks, coach.
Yes, and the time that you've been out, you know, we've had to make some subtle adjustments.
But I'm so happy to be back, Coach. Well, thank you very much.
I'm happy that you're back too, Sisu. But going into this week, we're facing a different opponent. And Richie Carney has played well this week for the past couple of weeks.
Look at Richie's like, I have?
So we're going to stick with Richie right now. I'm not saying that your time is done.
Right.
But we like
kind of a big deal.
What are you saying, Coach?
We like what Richie has been doing. So we're going to give him a couple more opportunities. You're going to play in this game. I can't say how much, but you're going to play.
Right.
So we want to give Richie another look against this team to see.
What are you loving up Richie for? Well, oh, wait, are we still in character or not?
No.
Because I'm just thinking, like, Stokely and Zach don't love up Richie. Tyler and D-Mac don't love up Richie. We love Richie, except I think he might be loving you up because you have a Heisman vote. He might have brought up a Michigan State player to me, Richie. I can't say who he voted for because I honestly don't know. But when we were talking your Heisman vote, you did bring up Richie Carney, Michigan State, and I was like...
I did bring up Walker, yeah. but I haven't cast my vote.
You haven't
just
cast your
yet.
Vote.
Right. I just gave you a number of guys.
So are you buttering up Richie so then he'll butter up you so then you'll vote in a different way?
No. I don't work that way. See, I can't be swayed on my vote. I vote based on optics, right?
Richie works that way.
I vote based on optics, and I like the Michigan State running back. I really do, but there's some great guys that are out there.
Hell of a back.
Bryce Young, CJ Stroud is out there.
You know the first person that told me about him?
Who?
Richie Carney.
Well, I obviously, Michigan... I mean, that's kind of like a no-brainer. Michigan State guy telling you about a Michigan State running back.
Right. Yeah. But it's good. It's good.
It's great.
Richie, how many times have I texted you when the Broncos pick up some no-name Spartan, and I'm like, what do you remember about this guy? Because I'll go through my scouting report, but if it's like some undrafted guy, I've texted you that kind of stuff.
It's happened a lot, yeah.
It's good to have insider information.
Right, so I wasn't just kind of cozying up to Richie, but... In the story I was telling, an example I was giving, I couldn't put myself in the equation, so I had to use Sisu, and I had
Richie.
To use Richie.
And you chose Richie.
Well, look behind the glass, and who else could I use? Invisible Man? So I had to use Richie.
He's invisible, Sisu.
Right. Hmm. But you get the whole idea. That's how, hey, Starter loses his job. So this thing can happen. Teddy can be here next year with another guy starting, and if something happens... Now you just plug and play. Put him right in.
What's the name of the Miami Heat's center? What is it? I saw Guns N' Roses and Snoop Dogg there in Miami.
So a Bam Adebayo?
No. The place where they played, like United.
It used to be American Airlines. But I think it's
is it something else?
I think it's FTX Arena. I don't know what that is.
What's FTX? Is that like a... Stock ticker symbol?
I have no idea. They changed
these
names.
I got that FTX in my stock portfolio.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it is. I don't know.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, you know what they're going to call it tonight?
What are they going to call it?
The House of Chingasos.
Chingasos?
You know what Chingasos is?
No, it sounds pretty cool, though.
Chingasos.
Oh, muscles?
Spanish. No, fight.
Oh, fight.
Yeah. The House of Fighting.
Oh, the House of Fighting.
Chingasos.
Okay.
Chingasos essay. Orle pues.
You learn something new.
You do. You learn something new with Nick and Cecil.
What is it again?
Chicano Chingasos.
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 Yes.
Chicano and an African-American coming together.
Chingasos.
With Chingasos for the Denver Nuggets. Shansa. That means maybe. We'll talk about it next.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Oh my, Jokic just clobbered Markieff Morris from behind. Well, that might cost Jokic a game and some money, and now Jimmy Butler in the middle of things.
Whoa.
Oh, things are turning ugly here. Denver staff mixing it up with Heat players. Oh, Markieff Morris is hurt. In all of this, Morris is still on his back, clutching his shoulder. Why did Jokic go after Morris? We do not have an answer to that.
That's a stupid question. Why did he only cheap shot him under the ribs? I don't understand. What's going on? Oh, that was the Heat TV call? No wonder. Why is he hurting our guys? You know what Morris and Jimmy Butler are like?
What?
They're like the old guy who says, you don't want none of this smoke. And you're like, hey, old man, you're too old to say that, man. Like, that's fire.
Well, see, so I'll say this. Now, Jimmy Butler was fine, I believe, $30,000, I believe, or $50,000.
Yeah, what did he do? Nothing.
Well.
Except that ran his mouth.
Well, no, he didn't. He actually stood. We didn't get a chance to see it, but they stood.
Why didn't we get to see it?
Because they didn't show this on television.
Oh.
Because this is what happened, like, after the game.
Oh.
Standing in the locker, in the way of the locker room, or the path of the Nuggets players going to their locker room.
Right, right.
With Heat players, and he was fine because he was kind of considered to be keeping the situation ongoing, right?
Okay.
Which makes tonight's game.
Can he throw?
No.
Then he's like the old man that says you don't want to throw.
Hey, here's what I know.
The worst guys are those guys.
Well, yes.
The absolute worst guys.
Yes, guys who wouldn't bust a grape in a fruit fight. Right? Those type of guys that they're going to get the yimmy yakking and yapping and chapping.
Oh, the yipping and the yapping and the yawn.
They're going to poke out their chest and, I'll do this and hold me back. Hold me back, Jim.
Right.
It's the same thing that we see in baseball.
Oh,
when
God,
a guy,
yes.
When a guy charges the mound and he's kind of waiting for someone to come and
right.
grab him.
You guys are going to hold me back, right?
Right. And then everyone clears the dugout and there's a bunch of guys pushing around and just playing patty cake.
Him and a hon.
And just like, once again, I'm not advocating for fisticuffs, but
if you're going to talk about it, be about it.
Right. But if you're going to do it, go all hockey on the guy. Right? If you're going to do it. Once again, I'm not advocating fisticuffs,
go
but
Gabriel Landeskog on a guy.
Well, yes, yes. Well, that's one thing about hockey. They allow you to do that. That's part of the game itself.
They don't allow that in basketball.
No.
So tonight, FTX Arena, Miami Nuggets, who have fallen off a cliff. You won't be surprised to know that the Nuggets are not very good without their three best players, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. They have fallen off a cliff. They have, what is it, 7-game road trip coming up?
Yeah, right? I believe so.
And they've lost, Richie, correct me if I'm wrong, 6 in a row? I went to junior college, so I can't do all this complicated math, right? But they have fallen off a cliff. How do they save it tonight? Especially when this game has been circled. Remember when we said the day, November 29th?
Yeah, that was about 3 weeks ago.
Remember when we said that and we're talking about this scuffle and I was on board with what Charles Barkley said? What'd Joker do? Right?
Right.
I was on board with that. We talked about it and we said, hey, November 29th. Well, it's here. And I don't know if it's going to mean much of anything tonight.
Well, it's still a game. It's still going to count. So it's going to mean something. Now, Nikola Jokic, I was reading something where it said, well, he may be questionable about playing. I don't know if this is
he's
a game.
Gone through warm-ups the past few games, but he's ultimately out.
Well, I don't
know about tonight.
Right, I don't know about tonight. But this is a game that I don't think that you put him in this game because
even though
the narrative is that, oh, well, we moved on from the situation.
The Nuggets narrative or the Heat narrative?
Well, the Heat, they're giving mixed messages coming from Udonis Haslem, who is...
Yeah, Haslem said, nobody got time for that.
Well, who's a Miami native, right?
Yeah.
Went to Miami High, a school that not too far from where I live. But he's saying as a team leader, well, we're moving on past that. That's kind of not a big deal.
Haslam's an old guy, though.
Well, but here's the crazy thing about it. Then he follows up the statement with, well... Hey, I have nothing to do with that, man. We're going to play a basketball game. This is what he said. That's over with. I don't have nothing to do with that. I keep hearing about the Jokic brothers buying tickets to come down to the game.
Yes, and my problem was with the Jokic brothers, like acting a fool on Twitter, making the Twitter account and being like, we're going to be there. We got our tickets. Like, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't promote that sort of behavior from the fan base. I thought it was god awful when they were yelling at that poor security guard last year when Jokic got kicked out in the playoffs. And it was like, the poor little security lady, and she got these two behemoths just yelling at and just, you know, going nuts on the side court there. Like, no. Nobody wants to see that. Keep it on the court.
Well,
but you're telling me you wouldn't play Jokic to avoid any sort of chingazos?
Well, yeah, because I think he has a wrist injury. And as you talk
we
about...
We don't want you gossips with the rest of the
exactly. So that now that puts you in a tough situation where if something goes south, now your wrist is going to take another injury or some other part of your body, you know, it's punished and now you can't play and you're suspended and you're looking at the Nuggets struggles without you. And Haslem followed, you know, to finish up that comment really quickly, he said that the Jokic brothers better not come down starting anything, right? And I can tell you, you know, people I know you're down at Haslam, and we've seen him in action. You go back to those old Miami Heat Knicks days.
Of course.
He is one what they call a bona fide goon, which means that if it goes down, he's coming off the bench, and it's going down.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying that we would have a malice in the palace, but you got to be careful. Don't call down the rain and don't expect to finish the deal.
Right.
But the Nuggets find themselves in a tough situation without Nikola Jokic, Michael Porter Jr., and his back surgery. This is a game that you don't want to put Nikola Jokic in that situation to force his hand, pun intended. But also, you need guys like Aaron Gordon to continue to show up, because without Nikola Jokic on the floor, Aaron Gordon has to take more of a leadership role. And don't forget, my dude, that's right, Will Barton. I mean, Will is averaging about 16 points a game. And watching, and I'll say this, Sisu.
Have they won?
No.
So then?
Well, so what? I mean,
so what?
You got to give credit where credit is due. I mean,
he's playing well and they're not winning.
Look at the game against the Milwaukee Bucks, right? I know the score, I mean, the Bucks score 120 and kind of ran away with it at the end.
Right.
But when you really think about that game, Sisu, they were playing tight.
How can Will Barton do what you want him to do and they win?
By getting all the other guys to start putting the ball in the cup.
The other guys aren't that good.
Well, then, once again, now it becomes
the Will Barton show.
Well, no, the Will Barton, Aaron Gordon show.
It should be more Aaron Gordon. I'm disappointed we haven't seen that Aaron Gordon. We need to see Magic Aaron Gordon back. We don't get to see that.
Well, in the Chicago game, when they played against Chicago, we saw more of that because Gordon was the defending some of the top players. DeMar DeRozan, right? But then we saw him asserting himself and being aggressive, you know, taking the ball to the cup. Something that we normally don't see when there is...
When Nikola Jokic is in, Gordon...
It's changed. The dynamic changes.
It's almost like he likes the back seat. It's like, no. You'll take the back seat because he's the MVP. Well, then why does he take it to the cup?
Have you sat in the back seat before? No one likes the back seat.
Right.
Everyone wants to get to the front seat.
Why does Gordon act all passive then when Jokic is out there?
Because the offense flows through Nikola Jokic.
That doesn't mean you can't take it to the hole.
Well, no, it doesn't.
Doesn't mean you can't draw a hard foul.
No, but this is where he needs to get better as far as the backdoor cuts. Right? Keep crashing the basket. Nikola Jokic is going to find you. But once again, with Nikola being out, now it becomes a two-man show.
But we don't know if he's out tonight.
Well, we'll find out. All I'm just hoping is, though, we don't have another episode of the Malice in the Palace.
And I hope the Jokic brothers, like, take it easy. Like, take a deep breath. You're fine. Let your brother handle his business. You really want to be the, hey, are your brother's going to handle it? Or do you want to handle it yourself? If something goes down, everything legal, and no one's advocating for fisticuffs, anything like that. But, like, no, you take care of it.
Just play the game, because we don't want any more suspensions.
Right.
And we want to make sure.
And Morris, don't get with the cheap shot. Morris with the cheap shot, you're going to get dealt with.
Well, Morris has been out since that. He's been out 10 games.
Oh, yeah. They almost needed the stretcher for that.
Hey, be careful what tree you bark up.
Well, be careful with those guys that are about that life.
Yes.
And Haslam, would you call him a goon?
He's a goon.
He's about that life.
He's a goon. And you're in Miami.
What do Vic Fangio and Rihanna have in common? There actually is something. We'll reveal the mystery next.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
You have my heart, and we'll never be worlds apart.
We can just let this one breathe for a little bit, Nick, because, I mean, Schlatter than Evans do it with Culture Club. We might as well be able to do it with Rihanna, right?
Well, yes, but real talk, don't hate on Culture Club.
Monday feels so much better when the Broncos win, as I wait for the chorus, because here's what Vic Fangio and Rihanna have in common. It's called... Do you know why I bring this up, Nick?
I have the slightest idea.
Umbrella coverage has been baffling for the Chiefs offense this year. And I don't want to look too far ahead. And, of course, all week long here on The Fan, we also have, like, the world's longest pregame show. I think we're still starting at 8 a.m. Because the game was supposed to start at 11, right?
Yes, it was
supposed to be an early game. Then they flexed it. And the powers that be here at The Fan, our good friend Raj Kumar, said, yeah, let's just keep the pregame shows. Let's just do the shows all day. So we're going to have full day coverage. This is the biggest game for the Broncos since Super Bowl 50. This is huge, monumental for the beginning and the title of AFC West leader in week 13. But I bring up Umbrella because as this season has gone on, the defense that has had success against the Chiefs, they play and pray. They play Umbrella. That's what they do. They play Umbrella. They let him do it. Hey, Travis Kelce is going to have 15 catches. Fine. Everything's going to be underneath. Tyreek Hill's not going to do a damn thing. So will Vic Fangio employ a similar game plan? We know he's very egotistical. We know that his defense is the greatest ever. Just ask him. But could we see more Umbrella coverage from Fangio on Sunday night?
Yeah, you can see it. But here's what I would say, Sisu. You don't want to run a lot of it. And if you're going to run...
Do you not do it because Clyde Edwards-Helaire is back?
Well, no. You don't do it a lot because you want to mix things up. The first, before you start to do it, you need to disguise your coverages. And we're not disguising, just say, okay, well, we want to try to confuse Patrick Mahomes.
Nah, it's not going
to
work.
No. We want to make it tough on the wide receivers, being able to read the coverage themselves. Because sometimes you have built-in routes. If you get press coverage, you run this takeoff. But if you get a guy playing off, you want to come back or something like that. Let's keep those guys thinking. And that's something that we haven't seen all season long with the Broncos defense. Because basically what they do, they tell the quarterback where to go with the ball pre-snap. They get in their zones, and he goes, oh, okay, well, I already know where to go with the ball.
Right.
So the idea is, like, let's just add a couple of sprinkles, not wrinkles.
Sprinkles.
To the defense where you roll up on coverage, and then you bail out. So you force not the quarterback but the receivers to be able to read your defensive movements on the go. Not everyone can do that because let's just say – Travis Kelce loves to just kind of sit in a honey hole, just run behind, run in front of the linebacker, post up, show his hands, right?
Show his numbers.
So if they think that it's a blitz coming, well, maybe he may try to throw the slant route because that's a quicker throw.
Yeah, stop trying to make Mecole Hardman a thing.
That's right. So now as a linebacker, as you're dropping out, now he throws the slant right into your drop window. That's an interception or a batted ball down. This is how you offset what the Chiefs are going to give you because, once again, they're coming off a bye, just like the Denver Broncos. So you have to anticipate all the things that didn't go right up to this point. They're going to work on those, and they're going to run bridge players off of those particular
plays. Wouldn't you want to use Umbrella? Because if Clyde Edwards-Helaire has a big game, that doesn't hurt you.
No, it doesn't.
If Pat Mahomes does, that'll hurt you. If Tyreek Hill does, that'll hurt you. So it's kind of a pick-your-poison event, and I bring up something that usually we talk about when we talk about fantasy football. Like, you're going to take one person away. Well, the one person to me to take away for the Chiefs is Tyreek Hill. Let Clyde Edwards-Helaire run around, do his thing, whatever. He's okay. He's not as good as the Chiefs thought he was. They should have drafted Jonathan Taylor. Think about that. Think about if the Chiefs, instead of taking Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round, what if they would have taken Jonathan Taylor?
Things will look a whole lot different.
They might be a little bit unstoppable.
Yes.
But they didn't. So my thing is, play Umbrella, let him dump it off. Hey, Mecole Hardman slant for 5 yards. Great. Clyde Edwards-Helaire run for 2 yards. Great. Like, and then we're going to force you to punt. To me, Hill is the key. He's the biggest key. Even Travis Kelce could have 10 catches. Okay, it'll be a little bit like New England. New England let the Titans have 2 100-yard rushers. They had 2 of them. And, they didn't win. It wasn't even close.
But when you take that type of philosophy, you're not saying that is wrong. That means that you have to have all 11 guys showing up in the frame to make a tackle. That means your pass rushers, once they get upfield, mm-hmm. that ball is handed off. Don't just stand there and be a spectator. turn, retrace your steps, and now run to get in on the play. Because if, let's just say, Justin Simmons is coming down to face up Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Now, Jonathan Cooper, Malik Reed, or whomever, now you're coming from behind. He can't see you. You punch at the ball. That's what I think the Broncos should employ this week. I mean, you talk umbrella coverage. You can do that. I want to see two men. I want to see one lurk. What I mean by one lurk, you make it look like it's cover two, and you drop a guy down in the middle of the field at the sticks, and he's robbing anything that's an in-breaking route.
Can that be Caden Stearns, please?
Absolutely.
What a player, man.
Yes.
What a player. I mean, he had a freshman season at Texas that was outstanding, and then he was banged up the rest of the time for the Longhorns. Gets drafted, George Payton, what a find. No wonder Vic Fangio was praising George Payton.
Of course.
And not throwing OA, totally not throwing OA under the bus.
Well, let's just stick to praising.
This is really my fault.
He was praising George Payton. Yes. And not really throwing Elway.
Exactly.
What was it, the beep, right? Yeah. Was the beep, Vic Fan, every Vic Fangio
back
press conference. There's one, right?
It's always, yeah, he's good for one.
He's always got one.
One of the reasons I took this job is because of Vic Fangio.
Yeah, because I could replace Vic Fangio. People always get that quote wrong. They get all mad, like, George Payton said he came here for Fangio. Yeah, he came here because he knew Fangio could be replaced.
Obviously, they haven't won here in 5 years.
Hey, listen.
Was that from our show?
Yes, those are Payton, and he was real.
For those that don't know, George Payton discovered Nick Ferguson, so you guys are buddies, you know. That's good. It's good to have friends, right?
Yes, it's good to have friends in high places.
I wish George Payton was my friend.
Oh, at least George took my call. I can't say about Elway taking yours.
Yeah, you know, I can call. Doesn't mean he has to answer.
Right. Who is that? Is that Cecil again?
Oh, God. I thought I blocked him. All I'm saying is this game is so big, I don't want the Broncos to be embarrassed. I don't want to let down like the Eagles game, man. The Cowboys game was so big. It was so great. I know We Dem Boys turned into We Dem Island Boys.
Yes.
But, like, still, it was so big. It was so huge. It felt so good around here. We're talking now, today, Baron Browning. We've barely even talked about that kid. What a great player. What a great find. Whether it's Caden Stearns doing his thing, like, come on, man. I just don't want this to be a letdown coming up next week.
No, the way that you avoid the letdown is you just stick to what the successful recipe has been for the team and just kind of try to expand on it. Don't try to play outside of yourself. Don't try to press. Don't try to come up with elaborate defensive scheme or offensive plays to highlight yourself on Sunday Night Football. Go out there. Make sure the game plan is simple. Guys can go out there and execute. The offensive line, even with the reserves, they can go out there and try to mow down this Kansas City, you know, defensive line. Just kind of keep it simple. Don't overthink this thing, and the Broncos can come away with a victory.
Monday feels good after a Broncos victory, and Monday feels good when Tyler Palumbus and The Drive join us.
Hey, boys.
Hi, Tyler. How do you feel, man? Don't you feel great today after this Broncos win?
It feels a whole lot better than a loss. I know that much. I mean, goodness gracious, that was one hell of a defensive performance. I know that much.
Now, only Nick and Mike Evans, for whatever reason, I don't know why Mike did this, are the only ones to pick the Broncos. Why didn't you pick the Broncos, Tyler?
Well, technically speaking, I was out of town. So, you know, Richie took a liberty, and he made an assumption.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to go out on the limb, and I'm going to say that I would have picked the Broncos, right? Right?
Wow.
No, of course, Richie knew what I picked because he looked at my pick'em.
So, Tyler, when you look at the offensive line, a couple guys banged up, some of the reserves got an opportunity to play as a guy who played
the Bailey
league as an offensive lineman. Yeah, the whole Bailey thing, how do you feel about that?
Well, first off, I'll start with just the game ball that was presented to Quinn Bailey. You know, you watched that video, and he was the last one to get the game ball, and everybody got celebrated that got a game ball, but when Quinn Bailey got one, it was different than when other guys got it, and the team erupted. It was a really cool experience, man. It gave me goosebumps just thinking about a guy that was sitting on the practice squad just a couple weeks ago when he gets elevated. Certainly didn't think he was going to be called upon. He's the fifth option at tackle this year, playing left tackle against Joey Stinkin-Bosa.
Right.
Hey, man, he wasn't perfect. A lot of those guys weren't perfect. Quinn Meinerz was not perfect.
Right.
But, you know, for a group that was down to one starter, all right, man. I mean, not bad.
And the one starter was the worst guy out there.
That's right. And I'll give a lot of credit to Pat Shurmur because I challenged him on Twitter. You know, I'm sure he was listening. I challenged him on Twitter. It's up to him to call a game plan that's going to work for this group.
Right.
And he actually did it. He did. So credit to Pat Shurmur.
D-Mac, you were there and you did the pregame show with Mike Evans. Why the hell did Evans pick the Broncos?
Oh, I mean, I could see it. You know, when it came time for our predictions, what I said is I think either the Broncos will get the lead and flow with it like they did against Dallas, or they'll get down and they'll probably lose by a lot. You know, Mike just had some, I don't want to speak for the mind of Mike who could understand it, but I think he just saw the positive aspects of what could be. Listen, this team is chock full of much better players. Like Vic Fangio said today, it's a better team.
Right.
But they don't have that comeback gene. They don't. At least we haven't seen it. And so, but they do have the let's go with the flow sort of gene, and they had a terrific defensive performance yesterday too. So there you go. I mean, I don't know exactly. I don't think Mike was any, you know, smart or anything, but I think that he just had more confidence that the good Broncos would show up.
Mike could say you're listening to KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. It's Nick and Cecil filling in for Stokely and Zach. I am so excited to hear you guys talk about this game because it feels great. Win the drive.
That's a wrap on Drew Lock, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Feels great when the drive takes over next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.